Welcome again to Good Hope Through Grace. Tonight's message will be brought to you by Pastor Jeff Arthur, pastor of Elizabeth Baptist Church. Good Hope Through Grace is a radio broadcast ministry of Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. For more messages from Jeff Arthur or more information on Elizabeth Baptist Church, please visit our website at www.ghtg.org.
Book of Hebrews chapter 3 is what we're going to be looking at tonight, in Hebrews chapter 3 and the verse 1. And this is where we'll get our title for our message. And it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Now notice what it says again. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." And that's what we're going to entitle the message tonight, is the heavenly calling. I think most of the times when you think about a calling, you think about a calling to special service. You think about maybe a man being called to preach, or you think about maybe someone called to some type of special service in the Lord's work, like a calling to be a missionary. But this heavenly calling in this text is speaking of a calling to salvation. And of course, the day you were saved, the Lord called you. And that's what we're going to focus on in the message. We're going to notice different aspects of this calling, this heavenly calling, which is a salvation calling. And we're going to look at the different descriptions the New Testament gives of that calling. Let's go ahead and notice the first one. Romans chapter 1 is where we'll get our first description of this calling. And it really shows you how great it is when you look at how it's described in the Scripture, different languages used to describe it. Book of Romans chapter 1, we'll notice it in two spots. He's writing in the book of Romans. When you read Romans and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, you understand those were churches. Those were local churches. They were in a town. They were in an area. They carried out the Lord's commission, you know, to preach the gospel, to baptize, and to teach. That's what they were. Everywhere the Apostle Paul went and preached and people were saved, he established churches there because people need a church after that they are saved. And they need to assemble. The book of Hebrews says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the habit of some is. So there's a warning that we need to assemble. We need a congregation of people. When you're saved, you're sheep, aren't you? And what sheep need is a flock. They need a flock to be a part of. They need an under-shepherd that will teach them the Word of God. Well, when you read here in Romans, this was speaking to the church at Rome. And he's talking to the people there. And notice how he refers to them as in verse 6. Romans 1, verse 6, we're speaking of the heavenly calling. We're looking at details of that calling. Romans 1 and verse 6, it says, "Among whom are called, among whom ye are also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of the Lord." Now notice what it says they are. They're called to be saints. Everybody see that? Called to be a saint. The word saint's a word that's been abused today. When you think about sometimes people will talk about a saint and they're talking about maybe like a super canned or super Christian. And they'll say, "Oh my, that person's a saint." Well, you become a saint in Christ Jesus. The day you trusted Christ as your Savior, you went from being a sinner to a saint. You don't become a saint based on all the good things that you do. You become a saint based on what Jesus did for you. The only way you can be a saint is be in Christ Jesus. "To all that be in Rome, beloved of the Lord, called to be a saint." But the reason saints is listed in the text is because God called them. God called them to be a saint. Now, of course, that is an inward calling. Really, there's two types of callings. I'm a pastor, and when I preach, I often call upon people to repent and to believe and to trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior. That's an outward calling. That's something that we do when we witness to somebody. People turn down that outward calling all the time. But apart from the outward calling, there's an inward calling. There's a second calling, and the inward calling is the calling done by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, "No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit." And what the Holy Spirit does is He draws people to Him. And that's an inward calling. The inward calling opens your heart. The inward calling opens your heart. In the book of Acts chapter 16, we're told about a woman of the city of Thyatira. And they were meeting there in Macedonia. And Paul went there to the meeting. And it was women, and they were meeting together for some type of worship service. And they were meeting together, you know, kind of a private thing that they were doing. And Paul went there. He knew they offered prayer there. And Lydia, who was a seller of purple, a maker of purple dye, it says, whose heart the Lord opened. The Lord opened her heart. And when the Lord opens your heart, that's what the calling is. That's what the calling to be a saint is. And the Holy Spirit's the one that does it. What's it mean to open your heart? We think of the heart. What are we thinking? We're thinking about this organ that beats. Well, they even go, God calls you in your heart. But the heart is your understanding. Your heart is basically your mind. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What do you think at? You think in your mind. And, of course, we were closed-minded before we were saved. And what the Lord does in salvation is He opens your understanding, which means He opens your heart. That's what He does. Let me read you a text in the book of 1 John chapter 5. And this is a text we quote often at the Elizabeth Baptist Church. About everybody in the church, of course, knows it, but it's no less a blessing. The message is titled, "The Heavenly Calling." The Heavenly Calling is a calling to be a saint. And that calling, of course, is a inward calling also. And we'll look at that here in just a little bit. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. "And we know that the Son of God is come." We know that the Son of God. Do we believe that the Son of God has come? We sure do. That's a fact of history. But it's also a fact of faith, too. We believe it because the Bible says it. We believe He came. We believe the reason He came was to live the perfect life and die on the cross for our sins as a substitute and rise again the third day so that we could be justified. We believe all that. We know that the Son of God has come. We're not looking for Him. We're looking for Him to come a second time to get us, but He's done offered the price of our redemption 2,000 years ago. Now watch this now. "He hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true." He hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. "And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is a true God and eternal life." Eternal life is to know Him. Eternal life is to know Him and to trust Him. And what the Lord did is opened your understanding to that. That's why you understand. That's why you shouldn't be arrogant about it. Because the only reason you know is He opened that understanding up in you. So you should thank God for that, because if He hadn't done that in you, you'd still be out here in your sin somewhere. So He deserves all the glory and praise and honor for that. This heavenly calling is a calling to be a saint. And in this heavenly calling, it's also an inward calling in which He opens the understanding of your heart. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And boy, it really comes out in 1 Corinthians strong. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The heavenly calling is a calling to be a saint. And that calling is also, number 2, we're looking at the details of it. It's also an inward calling, which the Holy Spirit opens your heart and He gives you an understanding. Let me go ahead. I wanted to read another text before I read this. And just keep your place there. And let me read another text that I actually wanted to read first. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, we're talking about how the Lord opens your understanding, opens your mind, opens your heart. Before you were saved, the Bible says we were blinded. We didn't have no spiritual light. We might have seen physically, but we didn't see spiritually. We was in a mess. I've heard people say, I don't know why that person can't see it. You ever heard anybody say that about somebody? Somebody maybe is unsaved and they'll go to their church and they'll hear all these different things and or they'll go through a tragic time in their life and they'll say, well, I don't know why, they just can't see it. Blind people can't see. That's why they don't see it. And when you realize the condition of the lost person apart from God's interceding in their life, you understand why. We were blind before we were saved. John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, said, I was blind, but now I see. Who turns your light on? Did you do that yourself? Who turns your light on? Who gives the glory for you seeing? Who gets the glory for you understanding? Who gets the glory for all of that? Why do you understand? Why do you see? Well, that's because God gives you the understanding. And it's because God opened your blinded eyes. And this is the aspect of it we want to look at now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice what it says. Verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. The idea of hid is it's veiled. There's a covering over it. And it has to be uncovered to people. That's the idea. It's veiled. And the veil has to be removed for someone to see it. Okay? God did that for us, didn't He? He opened it up to us. Verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world, that's talking about the devil. That's why it's got a little G there. It's not talking about our God. If our God, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image of God, should shine unto them. So why don't they see it? They got a blinded what? They got a blinded mind. They can't see it. Somebody has a blinded mind, they can't see it. So next time you leave church, you say, oh, I don't know how they can send under a message like that today and not see. They're blinded, just like you is blinded. If God gives them light, they'll see and they'll trust. Notice what it says in this text, verse 5. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now look here in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine in the darkness, has shined in our hearts. He shined in your heart. What was wrong with your heart before? It was dark. It was blinded. You couldn't see. You didn't understand it. You heard it, but it didn't make sense to you for some reason. And the reason is there was blindness there. In salvation, when the Lord calls you to be a saint, He also opens your understanding and He gives you light. And when He gives you light, just like you're in a building that's pitch black or a cave that's pitch black, you can't see nothing. But buddy, you turn that light on, then you see. Here's what I'm saying. God turned your light on and you saw. That's the only reason you saw. And who gets the glory for it when I share it with you that way? Who gets the glory for you seeing? God does. And that's why Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He was in darkness before he was saved. He was the chief persecutor of the church when he was saved. When he was going to Damascus, he wasn't going to Damascus to a revival meeting. He was going to Damascus to put Christians in chains and bring them back to Jerusalem. But on his way there, God struck him down and opened his understanding to know Him that was true. That's what it says. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now, He did that in Genesis 1:1, didn't He? God said, let there be light, didn't He? But He also did it the day He saved you. The day He saved you, He gave you light. He commanded the light to shine in your old dark heart, and He opened your understanding, and He gave you light, and you saw it. And you trusted Christ as your Savior. Yes, Father. And you know, a person won't do that till he does. They'll just stay right there where they're at. You can make it clear as you can be. But they won't see it or won't trust it without being given this light. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, we have this treasure. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What treasure do we have in this earthen vessel? Well, the gospel message is the treasure. And when you trust the gospel, it makes you rich. It's why it's called a treasure. A person that doesn't know Christ, they may have more money than Donald Trump. They may have more money than Donald Trump. But if they don't know Christ Jesus as their Savior, the day they die, are they rich? And no, the day they die, they're poor. You can have a lot of financial things, but it don't last real long, no matter how you slice it. You can have a great amount of money, but the day you die, you go out having left everything behind. Riches is having eternal life. Riches is having Christ Jesus as your Savior. So what we have in this earth, our earthen vessels is our body. And the treasure that we have in our body, the treasure that we have is salvation. The gospel message brings us salvation. And, you know, you got eternal life. You got forgiveness of sins. You got redemption. You got a home in the Father's house. You got victory over death. You got victory over sin, death, and hell. Yeah, I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. It's a treasure, and it's priceless. It's a treasure, and it's priceless. So that's what the Lord has done for us. It's a glorious thing. This heavenly calling is a glorious thing. It's a calling to be a saint, and it's an inward calling. And that's what we've been talking about really all evening, is the inward calling done by the Holy Spirit, in which He opens your heart and gives you an understanding. And you trust the gospel. And when you do that, the Lord makes you rich. Let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, he talks more, a little bit more detail here about the inward calling. This inward calling is, of course, a call to be a what again? It's a call to be a saint, isn't it? We've seen that in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Called to be a saint. You go look at Romans chapter 1, it says the same thing there. Romans 1:6, I think it is. Called to be a saint. And that's a calling to salvation. It's an inward calling that He opens your heart. Now notice down here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's notice down in verse 22. It says the Jews require a sign. They want some type of sign to prove that Jesus was the Messiah. There was all kinds of evidence that Jesus is the Messiah. The Old Testament bore witness of Him. He fulfilled like 300 Old Testament prophecies by His birth, His earthly ministry, His resurrection. Like I think it's 300 fulfilled prophecies just in Jesus. So, which is evidence that of course, He indeed was the Messiah. Notice what else it says. The Jews require a sign. They had all the signs they needed. Why couldn't they see it? Because it was blinded. Same as the Greeks. It says the Jews require signs. The Greeks seek after wisdom. We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, it was a stumbling block. Now, why was it a stumbling block to the Jews? They weren't looking for a crucified Savior. They were looking for a Messiah like, you know, Joshua or like King David. They were looking for someone to load up the spears and lead the army and run all the Romans out of the land. That's what they were looking for. They were looking for a warrior. Jesus came different. He came to deliver in a much greater way. He came to deliver, to save His people from their sin. In order to do that, He had to be crucified. He had to be perfect, and then He had to be crucified. So we preach Christ crucified. It's a stumbling block to the Jews. To the Greeks, it was foolishness. The Greeks had all kinds of gods. And then the idea of being saved by a crucified Savior was a stumbling block to them. They just thought it was foolishness. We studied through the book of Acts, and we seen Paul at Mars Hill. That was the highest court in the land. All the intellectuals was there. Some believed, but by far, most of them thought what he said was foolishness. Still that way all the way down to the day. Many people think being saved by a crucified, risen Savior is foolishness. Verse 24. But unto them which are, what's it say there? Unto them which are called. Everybody see it? We're talking about the inward calling. The heavenly calling is an inward calling, and it's a calling to be a saint. That's what we looked at so far. But unto them which are what again? Called. It was foolishness to everybody else, to the Jews and Greeks that heard it. It was foolishness to them. But to them that are called, that's the inward calling. To them who are called, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Those that are called seen the difference. They had the understanding of who He was. And they trusted Him as their Savior. Let's go ahead and go on down through this text. I didn't intend to do this tonight, but I want you to show you how what He does is He really puts the spotlight on God and His grace as being the reason why the Corinthian church was even there. And He says that God called them. God called them. And He opened their understanding when He called them. He opened their old dead heart when He called them, and they trusted Jesus. Notice what it says in verse 26. You see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Let's stop here just a minute. Well, you look at His apostles. What were they? They were fishermen. He didn't call the great elite of His day. Now, He saved some people in prominent places, don't get me wrong. But for the most part, the disciples were fishermen. Galilean fishermen. And you know what the Lord did? Man, He called them and He gave them a spiritual education. And He gave to them the great truths of the Word of God. Man, and they could confound the things which were mighty. I mean, they would stand and they'd preach for Jesus and they just couldn't resist the Spirit and things with which they preached in. It was an overwhelming thing that the Lord did for these apostles. He says He chose the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world. Things which are despised hath God chosen. Things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence. That no flesh. You can't glory in yourself. Hey, there won't be no braggarts in glory. No flesh is going to glory in themselves because you're not there because of what you did as far as your works is concerned. And you're not there because you were smarter than everybody else either. God gave you your understanding. God made you alive. God called you, or you'd still yet be in your sin. And you know who gets the glory for that? God does. God does, and that's where it belongs. And that's where it's deserved. No flesh should glory in His presence. You go in the book of Revelations, and before the throne, they take their crowns off and they throw them at the Lord's feet and say, Thou art worthy, O Lamb, to receive glory, honor, and praise. Why? Why does He get the glory? We wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for Him. He paid our debt. He made us alive. He called us by His grace. And He keeps us also. He does all of that. He deserves the glory for it. Verse 30 says, of Him, but of Him are ye in Christ. Why are you in Christ? What does that say? Of Him are ye in Christ. The reason you're in Christ is because of Him. You wouldn't be in Him if it wasn't for Him. You wouldn't be in Him if it wasn't for Him. Of Him are ye in Christ, Jesus. Who have gone, you know, being in Christ Jesus is like being in the ark. It's the ark of safety. You know, all this judgment was coming back in Noah's day. And whoever was in the ark, whenever the destruction came, that was the ark of safety. That was where salvation was at. You need to be in Christ. One thing we all have in common is everybody's broken God's law. So we're under a sin curse. Galatians 3 says, cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. You break God's law in one point, you are guilty, listen, and you are cursed. You can do all the good works you want to under that curse, but they're not going to remove that curse. And you'll die without Christ. You'll die a lost person. I want to tell you something. Jesus became a curse for us. He came and lived the perfect life so that He could pay the debt that we owed. And that's what He did. And He paid that debt in full. And He died on Calvary and He rose again the third day. And when you trust Him, that curse is paid in Christ. If you don't trust Him, if you're outside of Jesus, it's like being outside the ark when the floodwaters came. You'll fall under condemnation. You've got to be in the ark of safety. You've got to be in Christ. You've got to trust Him. You've got to ask Him to save you. You've got to trust that He died for you. If you don't do that, you'll die outside the ark. Wouldn't that be ridiculous to know to get on the ark of safety and to be standing there when the floodwaters came with the door shut? And you'd be saying, well, I wished I'd have got in while the door was open. Well, you need to get in while the door's open. You can't get in after you die. You got to get in. I hope you get in tonight. If you ask Him to save you, the Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you'll be set free from that curse. It says of Him, of Him, of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness. Here's what God, here's what Jesus is to us. He's wisdom, sanctification, and His redemption. Let me say it again because I like it. What is He to us? He's wisdom. He's righteousness. He's sanctification and His redemption. 31. That according as it is written, He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let me say that glories, let him do what? Let him glory in the Lord. Why do we glory in Him? Because of Him are we in Christ. Look back up at verse 30. Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Why are they in Christ? It's of Him. He's the reason you're in Jesus. The reason you're in the ark of safety is because of Him. He opened your blinded eyes. He opened your heart, give you an understanding to know Him. And He called you out of darkness into His light. So of Him are ye in Christ. It makes you glorify Him as you should when you think about it. Well, that's the heavenly calling. I hope it's been a blessing to you. That calling is the calling to be a saint. And that calling is an inward calling. And perhaps the Lord's called you tonight. I hope He has. If you'll call upon Him, He'll save your soul. Thank you so much for listening.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening or anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is brought to you by Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.